Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, April 19th, 2024, and today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 14, paragraph 4, which begins with, "While I lay in the hospital," and ends with, "They in turn might work with others." Today's readers are Margaret D. for the 12 Steps, Tanya P. for the 12 Traditions, Julie E. B. will read our comment on our text for us, Marie M. will read page 164, Jody E. is here for backup, thank you, and then we'll have Christina M. greet our newcomers and take numbers from available sponsors and close out with some announcements by Shelley E. Thank you so much. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, April 18th, is 21328, 21,328. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21330. That's 21330. DOA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Margaret D. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. One, here's the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Margaret D. And I'll now ask Tanya P. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Tanya Perry, Getting Honest in Michigan. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 14, paragraph 4. And I will now ask Julie E.B. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Getting off the text. While I lay in the hospital, the thought came that there were thousands of hopeless alcoholics who might be glad to have what had been so freely given me. Perhaps I could help some of them. They, in turn, might work with others. Wow, what a beautiful paragraph. I'm just so grateful. I think I read the whole of it that I was supposed to read. Thank you. They in turn could help others. Wow. So I just feel so grateful for what I've received. While I sat in the hospital, sometimes I didn't even make it to the hospital bed. I remember rolling around on the hospital floor where I would later spend 7 years of my professional life working, just screaming like an animal in pain because my weight had smothered me and my spine did not work anymore. I remember being bedbound 4 months and, feeling like I couldn't help anyone at all. And I remember going in on a stroke alert and getting a neurologist and a cardiologist and figuring out, over 10 years ago that this is killing me. And just having one nurse say, well, you've lost a lot of weight with this illness. Maybe it could keep going. I remember the hospital programs that paid thousands of dollars for medically managed programs where I lost over 100 pounds in 20 weeks, and I thought that made me their most successful patient, but I was their sickest patient, and it all came quickly back on. Now, 7 years of maintaining over 100 pounds, I can say that maybe, just maybe, I can help others. And yesterday, I tried to help someone close to me And, you know, that doesn't always work. And it doesn't always, I don't know, you know, if it was the right thing to do or say, but I do know what it's like to run so hard and so often. I mean, she ran herself into a stress fracture from a broken leg to try to handle this pitiful disease. Perhaps I can help others. I love when I get on this meeting and I hear someone that I've had a chance to connect to. And I was on a meeting, I don't know, about a year ago, and met some grand sponsees. You know, I don't have anything special. I just have this book, and I have the fact that my higher power saved my life. And today, I have a higher power who is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, instead of a lower power voice that just tells me I'm a piece of crap and I don't deserve anything good. So thank you all for your faithful service, because all of you who have thought maybe I could help another, even if you're at the very bottom, just by being on this meeting, you are saving my life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. Really appreciate that. Okay. Although we value everybody's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Wednesday or Thursday and would like to comment on this, please press star 1 to unmute. Give me your name.
Frangelis.
Frangelis.
Susan G. from Los Angeles, from California.
Oh, we didn't hear the Susan G. part.
No.
Thank you.
Susan.
Laura W. in New Jersey.
Laura W. New Jersey.
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Nancy L. Hi. Okay. Who else? Star 1 to unmute if you'd like to get in this lineup.
Christy K., Washington State.
Christy K., Washington.
Dana P., California.
Dana P., California. Anyone else? Oh, we got a good lineup here. Okay, we've got Susan G., who will be followed by Laura W., Nancy L., Christy K., and Dana P. Please share with us, Susan G., in California.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. I just love this paragraph. And one of the things that I love is that God has already entered his heart and he's actually thinking about other people. That selfishness and self-centeredness is starting to evaporate. And thousands, millions upon trillions of us have been helped from this thought, how this altruistic movement started. And I always have to remember, you know, how freely that somebody gave this to me and how freely I give it back. And I was going through Dr. Bob's story, actually, the last few pages with a sponsee this morning, and thinking of the kindness that Bill showed him when he came back drunk, when he'd gone out and he sat with him and he helped him. And it is a pleasure and it is a sense of duty. And helping other people is really the brightest part of my day, of my life. And helping people get to that point when they can put their hand in somebody else's. So whether you're new, whether you've been here for decades, like some of us have, we're all helping each other this morning. And I'm just immensely, immensely grateful. And for those of you who are feeling hopeless this morning, there is so much hope here, and your miracle is just around the corner. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan G. Laura W., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Nancy L.
Thanks, Elaine. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W., compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic, recovered today in South Jersey. And please let me know if you're having trouble outside. Yeah, you know, they in turn might help others. And for Bill to think that way, like, oh, well, maybe I can help them and they'll help others, that is a total transformation of thought and action from how he used to be. you know, they always say that recovery, to be recovered, is to have the death of the old self and the rebirth, you know, birth of a new self. And that is what I'm seeing here and hearing here with Bill, because he truly is not who he once was. Thinking of others when he used to be obsessed with money, status, prestige, being on course and trying to catch up with Walter Hagen, like those are the things that are now completely gone. And, you know, I'm grateful that I'm not who I once was. I'm grateful that I'm a work in progress, and that when my selfishness pops up, I can pause and ask God to remove it. You know, helping others, I never, ever wanted to help others. My thought was, why would I do that? What am I going to get from it? Well, what are they going to give me? And that's just, I mean, I'm just being honest, because that's how I used to think. And now it feels so good to help others. It feels so good to share my experience, strength, and hope, and be able to say, yep, I know how you feel. I understand. And you know, being a recovered anorexic and exercise bulimic, I know we're all suffering from food addiction, but, you know, to hear another person who says to me, yep, I get how you're obsessed with exercise, or I get how, you know, starving yourself made you feel powerful. You know, to hear somebody say that helped me so much. And in turn, I can help others. So grateful for the opportunity to share, to hear this, to see the transformation, and to know that if it can happen to Bill, it could happen to any one of us, one day at a time. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Laura W. in New Jersey. Nancy L. in Arizona, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Christy K. Please share this, Nancy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your service. Good morning, everybody, and welcome newcomers. I'm Nancy, compulsive overeater in Arizona, Nancy L. Yeah, here he says, perhaps I could be of some help to them. And that was so foreign to me, because I've always been such a needy person. I was full on in the food for 5 decades, from 5 years old to 55. And yeah, that was a hard thing for me to think that, wow, you could actually turn around now that I'm getting my recovery and I'm going to be able to sponsor. But I just had so much fear around it. And I kept slipping. I kept making, you know, going back to day one. And it, you know, I just thought it had to do with my behavior. Well, it did. My behavior was full of fear. My thinking was full of fear that it's too hard to sponsor. I cannot do it. But I have loved sponsoring these last few years, and it has really helped me with my program. It's like riding a bike. It wasn't easy at first, and, you know, it just took a while before I could feel confident and be able to feel assured that I was doing the right thing. Certainly wasn't perfect, and it never will be, but it has brought me full circle around to love sponsoring and to see that it loves me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy L. Okay, Christy K. in Washington. You're up next. You'll be followed by Dana P. Please share this, Christy.
Morning, everybody. Christy K., recovered in Washington State. And this paragraph, a couple words come to mind when I read the paragraph, and that's so grateful and thankful. When I read it, I'm reminded of how thankful I am for those who sponsor and really take the 12th step to heart. Because in the past, I haven't done that. I've been afraid to sponsor, and I'm just so blessed that there are so many of you out there who take that seriously to help those of us who need you so badly. I wouldn't be where I am today without my 2 sponsors. When I started the program many years ago, I tried to do it on my own. And when I discovered the Big Book and Big Book sponsors, my life changed with this program. The 2 I've had took the time to walk me through the steps in the Big Book, help me understand it, and for that I'm so grateful and so thankful, because today my life is so different than it used to be. And I also just want to thank all the fellows who also take the 12 steps so seriously by taking my calls, calling me, and giving me so much compassion, love, and care when I need it. I'm just so grateful and so thankful for everybody on this line and in this program. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Christy K. D. Dana P. is up next, and after Dana shares, we're going to take another lineup. We're commenting on page 14, paragraph 5. I'm sorry, I had said paragraph before, 4 before, but I wrote it down incorrectly. So paragraph 5, which begins with, while I lay in the hospital, and it ends with, they in turn might work with others. So please share with us, Dana P.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm outside, so just let me know if it's too noisy. There's a lot of birds chirping. Wow, what an amazing paragraph, right? I want to focus in a little bit on this. Suddenly, the thought occurred to me. Well, where do you suppose that thought came from? You know, that wasn't the thought that came from this selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, fearful individual. Bill had a spiritual experience that's shared in paragraphs previously. He didn't have the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. There was no book, but that book that we call the Big Book or the Blue Book, that wasn't a book. There were the steps of the Oxford group, and mainly I'd really, really want to share those principles, the four absolutes as they're known in the Oxford group. Purity, selflessness, honesty, and love. And that's what Bill experienced. You know, he had the spiritual awakening. He had a different perspective on what was important in life, if you will, and that was freely given to him. So what he was talking about giving away, you know, perhaps thousands, I mean, millions, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing when you really think about it. And for you, anybody that's new, stick with this because it is amazing. I mean, recovery is truly amazing. So that's what Bill's talking about, the spiritual experience. You know, perhaps this spiritual experience, and even Carl Jung, that's what he told Evie, you know, the only thing that's going to help you, my friend, is a spiritual experience. A year of therapy didn't maybe gave you a little self-knowledge and understanding about a lot of things, but it was not the source of your recovery. You know, the source of your recovery comes from a spiritual experience or what we call the higher power. And in this book, lots of other names for it. And my personal experience recently, I was awarded a very prestigious honor in my career. That's an international thing. And first thing I thought of is they were telling me all the perks that would come from that were, well, what's for everybody else? What's for my coworkers? What can I give away of these things that I'm being given, these gifts and treats, if you will, bonuses? What can I give to my coworkers? And it was just so funny to me because it's like that thing, that sudden thought. Once I have been able to, by the grace of God, release those blocks, my selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, fearful individual, you know, that sick individual, as those things fall away, I see what's important. It's connection with God and his kids. So thanks so much. I think my time's up, and I'll pass. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you so much. Okay, we're ready to take another lineup on page 14, today.
Susan Carly H.
Oh, I heard Nanny Susan E. and Lucy and Nadia, maybe?
Yes.
Carly H.
Carly H. and was
Tina
it Nadia
W.
B? Okay, Tina W. Okay, I've got Susan L., Larry G., and was it Nadia or I don't think I totally got your name. And then I've got Carly and Tina W.
It's Nadia E. in Toronto.
Nadia E. in Toronto.
Yes.
Thank you so
you
much.
Got it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll miss it. But it's all good. Okay.
Thanks for hearing.
Thank you for putting your name out there. Susan L., Larry G., Nadia E. in Toronto, Carly H., and Tiffany W., was it, I believe? or no, Tina W. I'm sorry. And okay, so please share with us, Susan L. You'll be followed by Larry G.
Hi, this is Susan S.H. I think that that was me because I did speak right out there. I listened to the earlier meeting, and I listened to the 8 o'clock, the 7 and the 8, and now I'm listening to this meeting. And this is so exactly what I needed to hear. I'm still not perfect. Doggone it. I am absolutely not. And I have disturbances that come up and overtake me. And, you know, I have the directions of the steps. I have the service of the fellowship to help me, to turn me back towards higher power. The steps do it. The fellowship does it. And our spirit of service, it just helps everyone, you know, whether I'm the one with a disturbance or someone else is, we wish to help and we're all here for help. It's such a symbiotic relationship. It is amazing. And I'm so grateful for the fellowship that I have and the help that I have in the fellowship. Service is amazing. I never believed that would be the case, but it truly is. And it helps me, even though I think I'm helping someone else. And I just can't describe how amazing it is. So grateful and amazed and staying there. So thank you all for such a great meeting. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan H. Let's see. Larry G., you're up next.
Good morning, Elaine and fellow members of OA. My name is Larry G., and I'm recovered compulsive eater. And these paragraphs in the last couple of days have just been inspiring, just goosebumps running up and down my neck. Bill and Bob left this legacy, one drunk helping another. This is before meetings. This is before the big drunk conferences. Just one drunk sitting across the table from another drunk, 12-stepping, and working with one another. It's mind-blowing. It blows my mind that how this all started. Started with Dr. Young. He was a spiritual. He had a spiritual conduit and passed it on to Roland Hazard. And Roland Hazard was part of the Oxford group, and he knew Abby, and he 12-stepped Abby and take Abby through the four precepts. Now Abby is taking Bill through the four precepts of the Oxford group, and it goes on and on and on. And Bill, now the light is on, like the light is on inside me. The work I do each day, I love working with new people, sponsees, and it's the greatest part of my day. And 20 years prior, the 20 years I was in OA prior to getting a vision, it was all about me. And I didn't have anything to transmit. I certainly was physically abstinent. I wouldn't say abstinent, I would say physically. I was a dry drunk. I lost all the weight and had gained the weight. But I certainly wasn't spiritually, emotionally absent. And I had nothing to transmit. I couldn't understand why, you know, these men I was sponsoring would get to steps 1, 2, and 3, part number 4, and they'd be gone. It was like a three-step dance, 1, 2, and 3 gone, 1, 2, and 3 gone. And now I know why. I had nothing to transmit. I was not sober. And this woman that I met at a conference here in Sacramento, a keynote speaker, I was riveted by her share. It was like being in an AA revival. I was eating the way she was eating. I thought about food, behaved about food the way that she thought and behaved around food. And I wanted what she had. And it took me 5 months. Finally, she picked the phone up and called this person. And she was a spiritual conduit that led me to a vision for you. And I would have never thought of getting absent or getting sober or continuing to have recovery on a phone call. But I find this phone call, there's people that I've never met all over the country, New Jersey, New York, California, the UK, Canada. I've never met some of you, but I feel like, you know, we've known each other all our lives, and I find this call to be very intimate. And today, I'm going to pass it back to Elaine. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you very much, Larry G. Nadia E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Carly H. Please share with us, Nadia.
Yes, good morning, family. It's Nadia E. from Toronto. And, I was listening to the 7 o'clock meeting, and something just really touched me, and I needed to share. So it's basically that if I don't share, I'm being selfish. Oh, wow, what a concept. That's amazing. I'm going to pass that message on. So if I don't come on the line, if I don't have the courage and the willingness to share my recovery, then I'm being selfish. Wow. So what I'm doing is I'm taking one of my sponsees through the Big Book, and we do that once a week. We talk like for half an hour. We read a paragraph like we do on these meetings, which is wonderful. And then she's been doing her step 4, and she's sharing that with me. And then every morning, I have my phone on silent, but every morning she calls around 5:30 a.m., so she's not waking up the house. And she reads On Awakening. She reads On Awakening, and that helps her, and it helps me. And, you know, and I can just continue. Like, I can share that message, take it through my day, and then pause during the day, and I can make an OA call and tell somebody where I'm at and how find out how they're doing, which is what I did this morning. I called an OA fellow that I saw at a meeting, and she really did not look herself. She looked really down. And so I called her. And that's just getting myself out of my head, right? I was kind of feeling down, but now I'm feeling so much better. And just listening to these shares and going back to, you know, to Bill W., that he got this, he got it, and he started doing what was prescribed, and look what happened. Kaboom, pow, wow. So I'm so grateful, and with that I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nadia E. Carly H., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Tina W. Star 1 to unmute, Carly.
Sorry, this is Carly H. in Connecticut, recovered from compulsive overeating. So when I hear this this paragraph, it just, I am struck at the connection between that experience of Bill lying in the hospital bed and having this intuitive thought from God as to sharing what he's been giving. I mean, it just reminds me of step 11, which is I'm on awakening, I'm lying in my bed, and I'm thinking about my day, just like it tells me in step 11. And here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. Well, his brain was cleared of the booze. My brain is cleared of the food. So I can receive these intuitive messages. And so I just love how the book, everything in the book is tied together. And it's this beautiful package that I can have freely. I can have it freely. I am honored to give it away freely. And really, that's all I have to say. And any newcomers, if I can have it, if all of us on the line can have it, millions of people over decades have had it, you too can have it. And just find somebody and let them drag you through the steps, kicking and screaming if need be. But when you get through them, life is truly magical. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carly H. Okay, Tina W. is up next. And after Tina shares, we're going to take a few more people to comment on page 14, paragraph 5, which begins with, while I lay in the hospital, and ends with, they in turn might work with others. Please share with us, Tina W. Star 1 to unmute.
Tina W. From South Jersey, gratefully recovered. I was back in bed again, and at the beginning of 2021, had joined OA in November of 2000, and I haven't had sugar ever since, believe it or not. But every facsimile since, and I really finally put it down in 2021. And I was up to step 4. I finished step 4. And I was listening to people who are really recovered on the phone lines. I was seeking it. And I heard somebody, very well-known person, say that he said, you got to do this 5th step right after you do the 4th step. And my sponsor said, I won't be able to take your 5th step for over a week. And I said, oh, that's fine. And I went to bed that night and I started thinking about eating again. And I thought about that man. And I had his number because I was friends with a man in OA on the phone. And I found this man's number to give it to him, and it was on my end table. And I was like sitting there going, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I'm on step 4, going to step 5. I'm going to eat. And I thought about what that man said, and I thought, well, he will surely never answer my text or my phone call. And I picked up the phone, and I texted him. And lo and behold, 2 minutes later, or less than that, he texted me back. He said, get on my meeting. I will find you or help you find someone to do a 5th step. And that just burnt in my memory. And I thought, this is real. This person's real, you know, because it was a lot of lip stuff. I didn't really know anybody who was really abstinent and doing the program and really following what they said. And I found somebody that day and I gave it away. And a few different people took me through the rest of it. They didn't tell me to go back to step 1, and they took me through the rest of it. And I found another sponsor, and we had to go through the steps again, which was fine, but I would have lost it. What would if that person had never responded? And that's how I use my program now. What if I didn't respond? You know, we have phone lines now. We can reach people for a 10-step or an outreach call, but I didn't know about that then. And the second time it happened was another very well-known person who kept a lot of weight off for a very long time, internationally known as well. I had a question, and I knew their background was different than a lot of ours. They were not abused as a child, and I had to help a sponsee because I didn't know what to do for these 9-step amends, and I called her. She answered, and she stayed on the phone with me for 20 minutes, and I thought, you know what, Tina? Self-sacrifice, giving to others, they're doing it. You know, they weren't saying it. They weren't VIPs. They were doing it, so thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Tina W. And though we value everyone's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day. And if you would like to comment on page 14, paragraph 5, I think we have room for about 3 people to share. Star 1 to unmute.
Jody E.
Jody E. Anyone else? Why don't you go ahead and share, Jody, and then we'll see if there's... Oh, who
Dina
was that?
Dina A. I said Jan.
Dina A?
Dina A, New Jersey.
Okay, and did I hear Jan?
Yes, Jan C, Arizona.
Okay, great. So Jody E, you'll be followed by Dina A, and then Jan C. Please share with us, Jody.
Thank you so much, Elaine, for your wonderful service. Thanks, everybody, for your wonderful service, for being here. This paragraph has always struck me as, wow, you know, here he is so newly sober, and all of a sudden, already,
He's thinking about how he can carry this message. That is just the hallmark of a spiritual experience, isn't it? To be lifted out of his selfishness and his self-centeredness and to think about others. And that becomes the forefront in his mind, to the point of really frustrating his wife down the road. And she would have to start Al-Anon because she needed that too. To let him be so consumed with helping alcoholics, he needed to become consumed with helping the family. Anyway, do I have this level of willingness today? Do I have this fervor, this passion for helping others that Bill had in that hospital bed? I hope I do. I know that I need to, because I am just as capable of picking up again as anyone else. My neutrality is dependent on my spiritual fitness. And I cannot stay spiritually fit if I do not think about how I can carry this message. I'm going out of the country for a couple of weeks, and I'm wondering, am I going to have cell service? Am I going to be able to get on this call? Am I going to be able to talk to my sponsees? I need to find out. I need to call Verizon, find out, which I haven't done yet. But I need to do that because I am not immune to this. I am not immune to relapse. I have to stay in fit spiritual condition by helping others. And yes, it is a pleasure. Absolutely. I agree. I can really truly help people with a message of depth and weight that changes our lives. How can I do that in any other way, in any other work or anything that I do? Nothing. Nothing is as satisfying as this freely given volunteer work that I do. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jody. Dina A., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Jan C. Please share with us, Dina.
Hi, Dina A. from New Jersey. I just wanted to get on and clean my seat and say hello because I'm on live and because I've been listening around the edges. And I was touched by so many of the shares today, and especially whenever somebody gets on and shares that sharing is, some people will say it's the thing that's going to bring recovery to me if I share. And today hearing that what I need to share, even if it doesn't seem as important as some of the other shares, it's selfish not to share it. It's holding back, like, in my comfort zone, in my safety zone. And that in itself is, like, thinking about it in a new way. It's not just, oh, it's going to be good for my recovery, but, like, Bill waking up and saying, how can I share this? How can I pass it on? With whatever I have in the moment today, whatever mood I'm in, whatever my life looks like right now, I have something to share just by pressing *1 and just by saying, I'm part of this. I'm part of you. I appreciate all of you so much. And I'm so grateful to be in this beautiful program and having the experience of having God work through me and see myself transforming. Yesterday, my thoughts were sunk by my higher power because I responded so differently than I would have in the past. Able to ask God, what would you like me to do here? And able to actually do it without my leftover feelings of like, no, I have to make this perfect. I have to make everybody happy. I was just able to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then actually sit down and write, well, what's left over inside of me? This angst that I'm not making everybody happy. This, you know, just realizing where it was all about me and all about my control. Being able to calmly give it up, that's not me. I could never have thought in that pattern. So I'm so grateful for my recovery, and I'm happy to share it. Thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Dina A. And Jan C., you'll be our last share for today. Please share with us. Star one to unmute, Jan. Jan C.?
Thank you. This is Jan C. from Arizona. And I'm so grateful to be on this meeting this morning. My higher power nudges me each morning and gets me up early enough so I can do my morning meditations with my higher power and writing and reading. I have a large religious background in my life, and yet I have never had such spirituality as I am getting and nurturing through this 12-step program. And who would think that these three sentences would inspire so many of us so strongly? I admire all the shares that have been given this morning that have been shared. I just want to claim my seat and say that my body, my spirit, my soul are so enriched by my higher power, by being involved in this wonderful 12-step program that has saved my life. And it's through God and the fellowship and working the steps. So thank you all. And thank you so much, everybody who's doing service today.
Thank you very much. Anybody want to take a 1.5-minute share? Star one to unmute.
Good morning, this is Letty. Am I interrupting anybody?
Go for it, Letty. Thank you.
I'm filled with gratitude today and because of the all the shares and this reading. It's just amazing. I'm short for words, but I am just feel so grateful to Overeaters Anonymous and what it's brought to me and to my life. And I'm a work in progress. I have a long way to go, but you know what? I'm a lot better than I was yesterday, and tomorrow I'll be better than today. So God bless everybody. Have a beautiful abstinent day and a beautiful weekend. Take care.
Oh, thank you so much, Letty, for finishing us out. Really, really appreciate it. So we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. We'll... Maria M., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, everyone. My name is Maria M. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Connecticut, and this is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.